All right, welcome into the Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe here with you, Dr. Crane behind the board. Chase McCabe still out, still on his sabbatical. I've got word, though, through a carrier pigeon and an old man at a general store down in Eagleville that Chase may be back tomorrow.
Really?
It's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So if he's not back tomorrow, we're going to send out a search party for him.
One of those silver alerts?
No, we're going to do a search party like they did in the movie Perfect Storm when Clooney and Wahlberg get stuck out in the ocean. We're going to do that, or a search party like it will. You ever see the movie Alive?
I don't think so.
About the, is it the Argentinian soccer team that crashes in the Andes Mountains?
Oh, yes.
And they start cannibalizing each other.
That was on Netflix.
Yeah, it's a true story. So we're going to send that search team out because they ended up finding, well, those guys kind of made their way down the mountain, but we're going to send a search team that was looking for them out to find Chase McCabe.
Okay, well.
I'm not sure where he is.
I'm sure he's probably listening from somewhere.
I know he went to Machu Picchu. I know he went to Thailand or Cambodia on like a sabbatical, like the Grasshopper. What show was that? Kung Fu. Yeah, with David Carradine. He was a guy in search of his inner self, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then last I heard Chase was running with the Bulls in Rayon City. So I don't know. So we'll kind of make through another day without him.
Running with the Bulls. That's pretty.
But at Rayon City, I think it's more like running with like chickens.
Oh, okay.
Because they're none of Bulls over there. So yeah. We'll find out what Chase is doing today. All right, we got a fun show for you. Our good friend Rudy Kalis is going to join us at 9:30. He's an absolute legend. What Rudy's doing now is amazing. He's with the Men of Valor ministry at the prison, and just hearing his stories, how he's changing lives, how God is changing lives through Rudy and through all the great men who help those other men out there is fantastic. We'll talk to Rudy at 9:30. Now, yesterday we talked about our favorite player, right? So one of my favorite all-time SEC football players is coming on the show at 10 o'clock today. Former Vanderbilt All-American linebacker Chris Gaines is going to join us. I love this man. I love his family. He was a fantastic football player at Vanderbilt. Again, All-American. And just talked to him about the evolution of football from the linebacker position, which I find fascinating because when he played, I mean, it was like first and second down, run, and they threw the ball. Now it's pass with occasional run and RPOs. It's a whole different brand of football, but it's still fun. So we'll talk to Chris Gaines about that coming up at 10 o'clock today. It's a lot of fun. We'll hear from Greg Sankey, Clark Lee from SEC Media Days as well throughout the show. Tennessee goes today with Josh Heupel at 10:45, I think, is the time he's going to speak. So Willie D. Mace will have that throughout the afternoon as well, reaction from Josh Heupel. So we had our question of the day. And Dr. Crane, we talked about this.
All right.
So this is coming off the Rex rant this morning with TD and Joe Rexroad. And let's go ahead and say, you know, love both those guys. Great writers. I think TD's a fantastic writer, and I follow him. All of his Titan stuff is great. But he had a rant today that really got a lot of people going about pulling over for emergency vehicles. And I was reading the text line. I mean, A, it's the law, right? And B, it's common courtesy that you have to pull over for emergency vehicles. And you guys really weighed in big time. So off of that, here's our question of the day. All right, I want to know our question of the day off of their rant this morning about do you pull over for emergency vehicles? I do because it's just common courtesy. Do you pull over for funerals? If you're anywhere on the road and a funeral comes by, do you pull over for a funeral? I'm curious. I want to know. 615-737-1025. We will talk a lot of sports today, but we talk a lot of other things as well on the People Show. Do you pull over for funerals? And if you don't, I'm curious why you don't. I never did. I never pulled over funerals until my grandfather's funeral. And seeing all the cars who pulled over, and I was thinking to myself, Dr. Crane, these people don't know my grandpa. And that's when I first learned about true respect. I think it was 18 years old. And I'm like, my goodness, they don't know who's in that limousine or that hearse, I'm sorry. And they're paying this respect. So, Dr. Crane, what do you do?
I stop and I pull over. I actually turn the radio off whenever there's some sort of, hearse driving by with, people, cars following behind the hearse. But, yeah, I usually either veer off to the side of the road, or if I'm at a stoplight, I'm just staying there at the stopped position where I'm at as long as I'm not in their way.
Okay, that's good. Now, when I worked in TV and I was a marked vehicle, I did it, and I got honked at and yelled at and move on and go on, and I get all that. But it wasn't because, you know, if I'm in a marked car or my own car, I don't care. I'm still pulling over for a funeral. I'm just curious if that's still a thing now, if people still pull over for a funeral, because I do. And if you honk at me, I don't care. I'll wave at you and tell you that I love you, because that seems to inflame people even more. So I'm just curious if you do that. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We're talking a lot of things today as well, but we'll continue on our question, kind of a non-sports question of the day. Clark Lee spoke to SEC Media Days yesterday. Of course, you can hear all the Vanderbilt football games right here on 1025. And that he's got such a daunting task, because outside of that football team, nobody believes that that football team could win more than three games. Would you hate to go into a season knowing that everybody – I mean, it could be a motivating factor, but nobody thinks you can win more than – look, I get six games or make a bowl, but nobody thinks you can win more than three games. And there's only one way to go out and prove people for that is to go out and win more than three games. So we'll hear from Clark Lee throughout the show today about how things are going over there. And I did not – I remember this, but I forgot about this. Clark Lee is running the defense this year. So as a head coach running defense, that's a lot to put forth going with teams each and every week and still figuring out how to run your team, also doing the defense. So it's a task for Clark Lee, but he's up to it. He is a good defensive coordinator, though. And look, man, we want Vanderbilt. If Vanderbilt ran the table, could you imagine if Vanderbilt went 12-0 and got in the college football playoff? That would be fantastic. We would love it. I mean, crazier things have happened, but look, get to a bowl game first and kind of build upon that. But we'll hear from Clark later on, of course, as Greg Sankey as well. All right, I think we've touched a nerve.
We have touched a nerve.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. All right, first call, Steven. Steven, welcome into the Chase and Big Joe Show, weighing in on funerals. What's happening, man?
Oh, nothing. Just get my daughter to her autism therapy. How y'all doing?
We're doing well. You wanna? Do you pull over for funerals?
Well, first off, funny that you mentioned that, because because like 5 minutes before you brought up this question on the road, a fire truck was like a mile behind me, but I could see the lights and the sirens.
Right.
Hear the sirens, so it's like. He's literally directly behind me by like a mile, no one between us. And so I just wait till I get to another section of the road where I pull over, and then I just wait for him to come by. And then you ask a question, and then my entire life when it comes to funeral processions is, if you're on the, like, this is just like the way it's always panned out, because no one really ever talks about this, but it's been,
correct.
Like, everyone on the other side of the road generally stops, because, like, for the whole courtesy and respects,
right?
Like, because like for like the emergency vehicles, if you're in the other lane, you can keep going usually. For funerals, if you're in the same lane, yeah, I would pull over. Like if you're going in the same direction, let them have the right of way. But I wouldn't necessarily like get over like off the shoulder, just like either stay in front of them if you can't get over, keep going,
right,
and then get over when you can, just to let them pass. But it's like, it's that's the only time when that I know that at the very least what makes it different is that if you're on the other side of the road, you stop.
Okay, all right, well done, Steven. Thanks for taking time to call us, brother. We appreciate you. Thank you. All right, let's go to Michael, who's weighing in on funerals. Michael, good morning. Michael, do you pull over for a funeral? I guess you're pulling over now. Michael. All right, we'll move on, Dr. Crane. Let's go to Tim. Tim, good morning. Tim, do you pull over for funerals? Nobody.
They're all just hanging up on us there, Jim.
You know, they got nervous. Anyway, keep calling 615-737-1025. Our text line, I can't. I'll try to get as many as I can. Here we go with Kenny Springhill, always do it with the hat off. Joe, next question. You take your hat off for the national anthem ball games? Absolutely. And stand up, hand over my heart, all the time. Wes in Clarksville, it's safe. If it's safe to pull over, I do. I've seen a lot of people almost cause wrecks. Yes, Wes, thank you for that. That is also a very good point there. Make sure you can get to the side of the road, clear it, maybe put your hazards on, and let people know. That's what I do and do that. But, yeah, get to a safe spot if you do that. Look, if you don't pull over, that's fine. I am not here to judge you. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just asking if you do, and if you don't, why not? And if you do, why? Let us know, 615-737-125. I'm going to have a tough time keeping up with these. Kevin, you're a blank. If a funeral procession is coming, I don't give a darn what lane they're in. Pull over and pay your respects. All right, I get that as well. 4819, I pull over for every funeral procession, but I live in small town USA. Lisa from Dixon, thank you for that. 4980, out of respect for the family, yes, I stop for funeral processions. I know Dr. Crane does, and I do, but that's kind of our non-sports question of the day is, do you pull over funerals? Coming off the Rex rant this morning with Joe and Teron about pulling over for emergency vehicles, and I do. I mean, I think in foreign, I'm told it's the law, right? Is that right?
There's like a move-over law.
Move-over law for that, yes.
Emergency vehicles, yes.
And also, if you're late to an event, don't blame emergency vehicles. That's on you. If you're late, like one time a guy got stopped by a motorcycle cop on Bradley Parkway. He's like, I was late for work. That's your fault. That's your fault that you're late for work. It's not the cop's fault. He's doing his job. You're late for work. That is, you should get a double ticket for being stupid and being late to work. There you go. To get all that right there. I feel better now.
And for those people that follow ambulances after they drive by, that is against the law as well. Right. That's a felony.
I had a friend do that. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, well, there's no traffic. I'm like, what are you? Stop doing this.
Yeah, that actually can get you arrested and go to jail for that.
All right. We'll talk a little sports. All right, we'll come back. We'll hear from Clark Lee from SEC Media Days yesterday about taking over the defense and things that are happening over in West End. Of course, Josh Heupel goes today. I think around 10:45 at SEC Media Days. Again, Rudy Kalis going to join us at 10:30. Former Vanderbilt All-American linebacker Chris Gaines will join us at 10. We are off and running today. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Make sure you stop by Bar Lines tonight, Songwriters Night, 5:30 at Bar Lines at Omni Nashville Hotel. If you're looking for a nice place to go after happy hour, it's perfect. Bar Lines at Omni Nashville Hotel is a perfect place to be. The food's great. The ambiance is great. The music's great. It's right there looking out on Fifth Avenue, John Lewis Way. It's a lot of fun. A lot of good people. So head down to Bar Lines tonight. All right, before we get to the Vanderbilt thing, I didn't mean for this question to blow up. I was just asking if people do this, if you pull over for a funeral procession. And a lot of you guys are weighing in on this. 615-737-1025. Now, 1698 said, and this is fine. If the funeral procession is on the opposite side of the street, I don't stop. But if it's on my side, I do respectfully. And I understand that. There is no right or wrong answer here. I was just curious about what you do and what you don't do. Let's see here. Ron says, that was Ron. 1698 again. That was Ron. This is 1698. Says, I pull over unless there are other people going, then I'll go. Darren and Donaldson, that's fine. Dwight in Kentucky says, I know Toronto, Philadelphia, they throw batteries at Santa, so they're not going to pull over for anybody. That's from Dwight in Kentucky. Now, this came over off Toron's rant this morning about why people pull over for emergency vehicles and all that stuff, and we've gathered it's the law, and that's fine. Do what you want to, but all that. Ben says, I only pull over if I did not know the person. If I did know them, I'm at the funeral. Ben, that's like Obi-Wan advice today. Thank you. I only pull over if I did not know the person. If I did know them, I'm at the funeral. 615-737-1025. Keep waiting. We'll take one more call on this. Is that okay, Dr. Crane? Let's go to Mark. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Do you pull over at funerals?
Well, this is a little bit different. This is my grandfather's funeral, and it was on a four-lane road. And I looked in my mirror. I seen this guy was just coming up behind us, just passing everybody, and kind of made me mad. So when he got next to me, I swerved, about wrecked him in the ditch, and shook my fist at him.
So you almost caused a wreck because, okay, what did he do when you raised your fist at him?
He waited and cut through a couple of cars into the parking lot of a gas station and stayed. I just watched me just sit back there.
Attaboy, Mark. Well done there, Mark. Yeah, Mark, what part of town, what part of Tennessee are you in?
Dixon County.
Dixon County. You know we call that God's country out there, right?
Yes, sir. We always pull over for funerals. You should have respect. And as far as the move over thing, when the emergency vehicles pull somebody over, they should try to get out of the lanes of traffic if possible.
Ah, I'm with you, man. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, if you see my good friend Luke Combs over there, tell him I said hi.
Hey, Joe, you're the best, man.
I really am. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call, man.
Thank you.
All right. All right, a little sports now. All right, so SEC Media Day is underway. Clark Lee spoke yesterday. Dr. Crane, we'll play this one. You good with this one? We'll play? Okay. Dr. Crane back there. He's got our handsome intern, Colin Kadoof, back there again today.
Currently have misplaced my wallet somewhere in the building, so just trying to find that.
Oh, where do we think it might be?
I don't know. It's like, where's Waldo? It's somewhere.
Look, that should be another question for the other day. What's worse, losing your wallet or your phone?
Wallet. Wallet 100%.
Okay. I mean, it's equally. All right. So, yeah, it's tough to concentrate when you don't know where your wallet is. It'll drive you crazy. By the way, hello to our intern Colin back there again today. Another day looking handsome. Must be nice to be that way, young and handsome in the world. All right, Dr. Crane, you cool with this? All right, this is Clark Lee from yesterday talking about taking over the defense. Clark Lee is now the defensive coordinator of Vanderbilt. Here he is talking about taking over the defense.
So, Clark, we know you've always been involved on the defensive side of the ball, but kind of taking full control of that heading into this year. When you look at your defense and the style and just your checklist of things that you want to see happen this year, what does that look like? What do you want kind of the identity, the formula of this defense to be?
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say is I really haven't been directly involved. You know, I think when Jesse got here year one, we spent some time on the front end just blending kind of the things that he was bringing from Baltimore with some of the things we did at Notre Dame and talking through kind of what the foundation of the package would look like. But, you know, what I've done in 3 years is I've taken a lot of my time and put it towards trying to get some of the peripheral systems and engines running. And I've needed to do that. That doesn't mean that I haven't, you know, given my opinions or sat in on meetings at times and challenged some of the things we're doing, but it's a much different world when you run the defense versus when you're, you know, kind of managing all three phases. So,
all right. So that's a problem I would have. I'm such a control freak for the most part. If I know my defense, I would find it tough just to hand it over to somebody because I would always be second guessing. What would I do? But now Clark Lee's taken over the defense. He's a heck of a defensive coordinator. What kind of style, different style will we see this for the defense? I don't know. With that being said, I don't know what the more attacking style or sit back in style. Everybody's running the spread offense. I would just attack, attack, attack. That's how I am. That's how I usually get burned on that. But it's interesting that he wants to take over the defense now, and there's a new offensive coordinator in town. You know, and there's also, from what I've told, 53 new players on this team.
That's what it looks like.
53. So you've got to build chemistry and camaraderie off the field is so important because you only got a limited number of spring practices, which are 20. How much can you build there? How much are you teaching? Remember the days when you started playing football, you'd go out to your youth football camp and your mom would have to write your name on a scotch tape or whatever and put it over your helmet so you'd know who you have, who you're talking to. I mean, that's just a daunting task. But this is all these programs. I think MTSU's got over 45 or nearly 50 new players that have come to the squad. And that's kind of the new norm for college football now, is that these guys are going to leave, they're going to move on. And, you know, Jill Junk and I talked about dynasties no more. I know Joe Rexrow disagrees with us. But no, I mean, if I am at, I don't know, Mississippi State, I'm a hell of a player. And I got Georgia says, hey, come join us. And I don't have a guaranteed spot, I'm not going to Georgia. I'm going to go where I can get the most NIL money, and that might be at Cincinnati. So I do think dynasties are done. I'm poaching your guys. If you got good players, I'm taking your guys.
I think dynasties are not over. I think there's just a new standard for a dynasty. Okay, let me preface something. I'm going to go to college basketball here.
Okay.
Look at Dan Hurley. He's going for three national titles. Now, he, you know, had one national title before this NIL thing really exploded. Two under the developing of the NIL.
Okay.
And he's on the cusp of going for a third one.
All right.
And so with that being said, I think he's getting used to all of the NIL maneuvers around the system for the most part. College football, on the other hand, is a different breed. Yes. It's going to be a little. It's going to take a little longer for, I guess you could say, NIL dynasties to kind of. That's how I'm going to phrase it. NIL dynasties to catch a new standard.
All right. What do you consider a dynasty?
A team that wins five or more championships in a row.
So there's been no dynasty in college football ever.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about championships solely, I think five is the way to go.
Okay. See,
if we're going like dynasty wise, as in like winning longevity dynasty, we're going you're a contender every year.
I say 3 and 5 years. Now, college basketball is a different breed because it's one and done, and you can't really build football. You can build that, and it goes on and on. And
right.
We can join a team for a year and go, and you're the pros, whatever. So, just different to me. So, 3 and 5 years to me is a dynasty, right?
Wait a minute.
So,
did I say 5 championships in 5 years?
Yes.
I meant what you said, 3 by 5. Excuse
okay,
me.
That's
thank
all right.
You.
That's all right, man.
Brain's over.
I know because your wallet's gone.
Yeah, I am kind of frantically looking around my shoulder for that. Right
okay.
Now.
Have you checked?
Check the first studio, second studio, just not there. I don't know.
Did you have the intern? Now, you came to my desk. You showed me your little video game thing.
Yeah, wasn't there. I went over your little.
Okay.
Wasn't there.
All right.
I don't know.
Have you checked the intern's pocket?
I know. This Steeler over here.
Perhaps.
Can you unload your pockets real quick?
His handsomeness might overtake
he's
how.
He's clear.
Okay,
he's good.
Good. All right. He's a good kid.
He has a brown wallet, but it's not my brown
because
wallet.
If you're that handsome, you don't need to be a thief. That's right. He's got the Kadoof gene. That's why what's working so good with him right there. I think 3 and 5 years is a dynasty, right? So Bama got a dynasty. Clemson came. But I don't think we're going to see that run of, you know, NFL Super Bowl. There's never been 3 Super Bowl winners in a row, ever. That's right. Why the Chiefs are going for that this year. That's kind of the eyes on football is if they can win 3 Super Bowls to build that dynasty. The Patriots had a dynasty because they won so many, and you had X number of years to do that. That's why, to me, college football is not going to have that anymore. It's so difficult to win that. And with guys transferring left and right, you're gone. I mean, I'm telling you, if Nico has a great year and I find out they're paying him $1 million and I'm at, I don't know, Auburn, yeah. And I can offer him $4 million, why is he going to stay at Tennessee? I'm going after him. That's the rule. That's the game, how it's played now. I'm going after your guy. I'm winning now, not 2 years down the road. Now you get my heart rate up.
I'm sorry.
Your wallet's missing. It's just, we got funeral processions, nobody pulling over. I mean, it's just, we got to make this a good day. You know how we're going to make this a good day? Because our next guest.
And who is that,
Joe? Our next guest is a guy that I absolutely love, Rudy Kalis, longtime legendary sportscaster at Channel 4 here in town. He's doing a thing now called Men of Valor. He's got a golf tournament coming up next week. We will talk to the longtime sports icon next right here. This is – do we have something to read?
We do, yes.
Take it, pal.
Thank you, sir. We're broadcasting today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and the Chase and Big Joe Show is sponsored by Omni Nashville.
All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here at 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Again, tell you about the big event happening at Bar Lines tonight, Omni Nashville Hotel. If this bar could talk songs and stories from Bar Lines, a big songwriter night, a lot of fun. 5:30 to 8, it's free at Bar Lines. Down at the Omni Nashville Hotel, stop by tonight and have a good time. Colton Armstrong, James Gregory, Paige Penny, Callie Young. Among others, going to be down there if this bar could talk. Bar Lines, 5:30 tonight at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And you found your wallet, Nick.
You won't believe where it was at.
It was in your pocket.
No, it's on the ground right behind me. I don't know how I missed it.
You feel better?
A little bit, yeah. A lot better, actually.
All right, well,
it just fell in my pocket.
Good. Well done. Well, going to make us all feel better now is our next guest on the show is a guy that I think the world of, and he's an absolute legend. He joins us now. The great, the talented, the wonderful Rudy Kalis joins us. Rudy, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I like all those things you said.
I still get asked about you all the time. I'm sure when you go out and about, people talk to you. I've seen it firsthand, but what a career. It's really still great to be admired, I would think, right?
Well, you know, when you outlive everybody else, then it helps. So That's probably the only thing. But it is nice. People have been very, very kind. And I get a lot of, hey, I grew up with you. And I say, how old are you? And they say, 50. I go, wow.
But you're still here, and you're still making a difference. Tell people what you're doing now, Rudy, about Men of Valor, because I know about it. I know the job you've done. I know the work that you and your team have done over there, changing lives. But explain what Men of Valor is to everyone.
Well, it's a faith-based prison ministry. So I go to Riverbend Maximum Security Prison at least 4 times a week. And I meet with guys. We have some Bible studies. We have just a meeting. I mentor 4 different guys. And then when they get out, what we're trying to do is change their lives, change their hearts, and give them a different direction. And when they get out, Men of Valor has a campus where they've got housing. They help them find jobs. They teach them how to, you know, work a checkbook and learn to save and all the things, get licenses and all the things that they've missed out on. And then their recidivism rate, in other words, the rate for guys going back into prison is like 10 to 15% only if you make it through Men of Valor. Why, otherwise, nationwide, it's like 70% of guys that are in prison get out. So it's really, really something that, you know, for these last 6 years I've devoted myself to. I've met quite a few guys that said I covered them when we were, you know, covered high school sports. Ask them what happened. They get involved in drugs or anger or something, and there they were. Got to spend time and change their lives. So that's what I do, and I love it.
And you said last year, you know, the golf tournament's come up Monday. We'll talk about that. But about changing lives, Rudy, is you said you've talked to a lot of guys, and they's like, 15 seconds of anger changed my life, right? Is that and that's kind of basically what it is.
Well, actually, you know, they say like 5 minutes, which isn't much different. But you get something like, say, hey, he disrespected me. Well, all of a sudden you took it out with that violent anger. You know, I spend time with guys on death row, literally said that to me, 5 minutes of anger, and look where I am. So, boy, it's, you know, it's part of society. We all get frustrated and angered very quickly. A lot of it is drugs and alcohol. The old line in prison is 98% of the guys are there in some way because of drugs and alcohol, and the other 2% are lying. That's what the story
right.
is. So it's so prevalent in life, the frustration and anger, and these guys have taken it too far.
Rudy, you could easily be on a golf course every single day. I mean, you earn the right and everything. Why is this so important to you? Why do you keep doing this 4 or 5 times a week? Why is it a staple of your life now?
Well, I've realized, you know, when I retired at the age of 70, I said, you got to do something with your life. And I want to devote the end of my life to just making a difference in other people's lives. And the fact that these guys can relate, because they'll all, hey, Rudy, we want to talk sports. We talk Titan sports, but then you can relate that to your faith, to your life. And I tell them things, mistakes that I've made. And just the fact that they're like sponges. They've lost everything. You know, you and I, if we have a bad day, we might go, go take a vacation, buy a new car, do anything we want. They're stuck in a 10-by-10 cell. So they got to find something within inside themselves that gives them hope. And I like it. It's something they expect me to be there. I expect them to be there. And you can't con a con, because he can read you like a book.
That's exactly right. We're talking to Rudy Kalis. Rudy, last year on the golf tournament, we got to golf with Dan Thomas and I, and Zach Tucker got to golf with a man who had back-to-back-to-back DUIs, got put in prison. You came and spoke. He did not want to go to the meeting. He did not have time for you. He said you changed his life. He got out and vowed, and I keep up with him, and he vowed to change his life because you spent about 15 minutes with him and changed his life. So I see it working in real time, Rudy, and I know the effect it has on people.
No, you don't even realize that. I didn't know that. You know, you like to think you have. I can feel from them, like, I'll be there tonight. You know, I'm down here, and we spent some time with some folks down here in Sandestin. I'm driving to the airport. Scott's driving me to the airport of Panama City so I could get back, and because I have to be at the prison tonight at 6 o'clock because we've got another meeting then. So I just love it. It holds me accountable, but I make it a two-way street. I said, I think it's hopefully made me a better husband, because I'm determined to live up to what I tell these guys to live up to. So it works both ways.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking to the great Rudy Kalis right now. Rudy, the golf tournament is Monday at Hermitage Golf Course. Is it sold out? Can people still try to get in if they need to?
Yeah, we've got a few more teams if guys want to. Just go to, if you go to MOV MOVMinistry.com. Men of Valor, MOVMinistry.com. The minute you click on that page, it'll say, hey, you want to play golf? And that's that where you can register. You know, Vince Gill has been kind. He'll be back. Jeff Fisher said he'll be there. There'll be some other Titans. Brad Hopkins said he'll play. Chris Sanders, you're going to be there. And
yes,
I thank
sir.
You for that. And so it's wonderful. So some good friends and get a chance to play with them. We're at the Hermitage Golf Course at 9 o'clock. Next Monday morning.
Absolutely. We're talking to Rudy Kelly. Rudy, we had a discussion last week about TV times dictating sporting events in these days. And we talked about Memorial Gym, how now you see the crowd, nobody's there. But we remember a time, Rudy, even when Vanderbilt wasn't a top 10 basketball program, Memorial Gym was packed and it was loud. We remember those days, right?
Yes. Way, way back in 1978, I did the play-by-play for Vanderbilt basketball. And there was one game, I think they played Kentucky, where the gym was full. And I even said, they're hanging from the rafters. And I got a call from the police department that, wait a minute, we're over code. Got too many people in this place. But that was the way it was. It was Memorial Magic. People loved it. I think it's kind of the way they've played lately. But it's such a unique gym. I think it's fabulous. And I know you do, too.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things that people find it hard to believe that have moved here. It's like there was a time when Vanderbilt basketball was the game in town. I mean, that's what you couldn't get tickets to those events because that was kind of the big thing going on. I know the Predators and Titans have shown up, but there was a time when that was packed. Murphy Center was packed. I mean, all these places. And I would love, Rudy, to get – I'm not sure we ever get back there, but, man, I sure would love if we got back to at least the gym, I mean, 75% full.
You know, I think some of it is the times. We have so many outlets, so many things you can watch on TV. You can pull up a 55-inch TV screen and watch the game and not go there. So I think, again, and there's so many different outlets. We've got soccer now, so many different places to go that the fans' budget is maybe stretched. But I would hope, I like your idea, 75% would still be great.
That would be good. Do you ever go to any of the SEC media days back in the day in Birmingham?
Yeah, oh yeah, we used to go. That was a big deal. Way, way back in the 70s, they had the old Skyriders tour, flying an airplane. They'd put on all the writers, us media guys, and fly them from team to team.
Wow.
And that was a hoot.
Oh, I'd pass. I'm not getting those small planes. I'm not doing that and all that. But that's
just... It'd be a big one. It'd be a big plane.
Oh, okay.
You know? A lot of adult beverages on those planes. That was a shame. By the time you landed, the questions were strange.
Oh, I'm sure they were. You know what's funny, Rudy? The question I probably get asked more than anything else is about you and the helicopter on Friday nights. I don't think that's ever going to be topped, Rudy.
Well, no. You know, some people didn't want to get up in it, but to me, it was the most enjoyable thing I do. This morning, speaking to some people, a nice group here, Farmers Co-op, that they asked me about the flying in the helicopter. That's the most enjoyable thing out of everything. I love Titans. I love Predators. I love covering balls, bandy, but flying in that helicopter to these little towns, landed in Red Bowling Springs one night. They had lost 55 games in a row, and we thought we'd give them a little love. And you got to pump sunlight back into Red Bowling Springs. And this old boy in overall stuck his finger in my chest. That was the biggest thing since Flat Scruggs had done a concert.
Well, heck yeah, it sure has. I told you one time I was covering a football game at Harpeth High School. They stopped the game, and the PA announcer had everybody wave at you in the helicopter. And I remember looking at the field. Both teams on the field were waving at you. The refs were waving at you as the helicopter flew off. And I was like, the power of Rudy Kalis on a Friday night is unmatched. So I'm sure you got plenty of stories about that.
Well, I do, and there'd be times we'd take off at halftime, and then I'd always tell the pilot, if you don't, it just buzz the field, because it's got a nice rattle to it, makes noise, but then I'd get an email from a band director who was mad because they were trying to play their band, you know, at halftime, and here we are firing down the middle of the field.
Oh, that's fantastic. Rudy, again, thank the world of you. The golf tournament is this Monday at Hermitage Golf Course. What's the website again?
MOVMinistry.com. Just go to that site and just click on it. It's the Men of Valor Ministry. And it'll be the website. You turn it on, and immediately on the front page, there'll be a click if you'll join us and play some golf.
I love it. And also, last year, hearing the testimonies of the lives, the many lives that you have changed and Men of Valor have changed, it's amazing, Rudy. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being a mentor to me. You know, I love you. I thank the world of you. And we'll see you next Monday, Rudy.
Ah, you're special, Joe. Thanks, pal. Glad you're doing this radio stuff.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Rudy. Rudy Kalis, longtime sportscaster at Channel 4, a guy that's been a great mentor to so many. I know to myself and my good friend Justin Beasley. He's a legend. And, you know, Dr. Crane, there's not going to be any more legends like this because TV has evolved. And so a guy that you grew up watching and everything, those days are gone. And this is nothing at my friends at the local channels. This is the way it's evolved now. I mean, the guy was a legend.
It's modern-day television. It just, like you said, it's a different era.
It is. So, hey, thanks for Rudy. The golf tournament next Monday at Hermitage Golf Course. So, I will be out there next Monday. Chase McCabe's going to have to hold down the fort by himself because we've done it now for 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Because I've lost – I don't know what Chase looks like anymore.
I was going to grow a beard, but I forgot I can't grow a beard, so he won't
– I don't know what it looks like. I really don't. So, he's supposed to come back tomorrow, Chase McCabe is. The people are demanding it. And I'm afraid to go outside because they gather outside and like Chase. And I'm like, he's back. And so I got to tell him something. So,
what are the odds that he returns with either a suntan or a sunburn?
Zero. He's like Casper the Ghost. He stays inside, reads books. He's a bookworm. Big time.
I think he's outgoing.
Of course he is. All right. Hey, come up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk more football. The former Vanderbilt All-American linebacker Chris Gaines about the evolution of just the defense now from where he played to where it is now and what's the next step in, you know, in trying to cover these offenses and these fast players on the outside. So we'll talk to Chris Gaines. We'll do that then. You are listening to Dr. Crane Take It.
Yes, you're listening to me talk about the game summer ticket tour that is now back. Join our very own Joe Dubin, who's on the air right now. Yes, there we go. At Yazoo Brewing Company at 900 River Bluff Drive in Madison, Tennessee. This Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. as he gives away tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Def Leppard, Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and many more. Also, get signed up for the grand prize ticket to Preds Home Games, Sounds Games, and the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour.
All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Anytime you can play Dwight Yoakam, we do. So fantastic. Many thanks to Rudy Kalis for joining me for the show, the big golf event next Monday, Men of Valor Ministry. Go there and see if you want to play and hang out with Rudy and see everything. It's truly an awesome, awesome thing that he's doing and changing lives. If you try to make this world a better place each and every day, man, you are doing something. So that's fantastic. Our question of the day, we'll talk still a lot of sports today, but it's about funeral processions. And a lot of y'all have weighed in about, do you pull over for a funeral procession? Now, this morning on the Rex Rant, Joe Rexer and Teron Davenport talking about this. And Teron said about why do people, he's not from here, why do people in the South pull over when emergency vehicles come flying by? A, it's the law, and kind of B, it's common courtesy to do that. And so we took it a step further about funeral processions. Do you pull over for a funeral procession? It was a simple question, and a lot of you guys weighed in on that as well. Let's see, Callaway in Columbia, 7655, thank you for this, is, I've been that guy that blocked the road due to people not stopping. Born and raised in Middle Tennessee, it's respect. Just like I will stop working, if I'm outside, I take my hat off. Okay, well done. Emily says, I think there's a clear right answer. Family and friends are already grieving. Don't make it worse by getting in the way. It's just so easy to pull over for a moment to allow these folks to stay together and get to the cemetery also together. 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you. I'm just curious about this, about what you do and if you do pull over for a funeral. Again, Dwight Kentucky said earlier, yeah, in Philadelphia, they throw batteries at Santa, so they're not going to pull over up there. And I think that's where Teron is from, Philadelphia. But we're talking about down here. Ben says, I only pull over if I did not know the person. If I did know them, I'm at the funeral. That's a great point, Ben, to make right there. 615-737-1025 about what you do. Do you pull over for a funeral procession? Another one here says, it's safe to pull over. I do. I've seen a couple people almost cause wrecks because of that. So thanks for weighing in. And Dr. Crane, you weighed in earlier too, right?
Yes, sir. I am one of those people that do go off to the side of the road and or just stop where I'm at and turn my radio off and kind of I think the reason why I turn my radio off is common courtesy and say a little prayer for the family of their lost loved one or the person that, you know, either is now deceased or whatever may happen to that family's situation. But, yeah, I turn the radio off, say a little prayer, and, you know, go on with my day.
And I told you, I never did until my grandfather's funeral. And all these cars, I'm like, God, at least people know my grandpa. I'm not sort of thinking, they have no idea who's in that hearse.
Yeah.
They have no clue. And so once I did that, look, if you don't do it, I'm not here to judge. I'm just curious why you do, why you don't. So with my grandpa, that was the one of like, all right, these people, it's a don't know him. It's just a huge sign of respect. So
and I remember they're at my grandfather's funeral probably back in 2014, so about 10 years ago or so. Yeah, going on 10 to 11 years. When, you know, we put the casket in the hearse, it was just – kind of a moment where you step back like, wow, traffic actually, like it was a two lane road, but all four lanes on left and right side both stopped for the hearse to begin the procession to the where they laid my grandfather to rest.
Cemetery?
So, yeah, the cemetery.
There you go.
So yeah, it was a very, very, I guess, cool moment. And a very honorable moment for people to do that.
Well, I've been honked at. I mean, I have been just honked at and yelled at for doing it, which I don't care. Here's something else I do that really drives people crazy. I honk in tunnels.
It's cool.
And I don't care if you get mad or not. I grew up, there's a tunnel off of Thompson Lane over there by
by Krispy Kreme.
By Krispy Kreme. That tunnel, the Woodlawn Cemetery, going to Hundred Oaks. I honk every time. I had a guy almost try to fight me. And this, I wrote it in my book. It's a true story.
Yeah.
He tried to fight me because I was honking because it was annoying him. I'm like, that's what I grew up. We can fight. That's fine. But I'm telling you, I do that because I grew up honking in the tunnel.
I grew up in that exact, well, my parents drove me to school to down that direction,
right,
on Thompson Lane. And there would either be some man with a trombone, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Playing an instrument, or, you know, somebody's honking their horn.
Yeah.
It's customary. I think it's kind of like a local Nashville thing to do.
So all of us grew up honking in tunnels. And I was under the understanding that a lot of people, even if you're not from here, you had tunnels, you honked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking a 6 mile tunnel you honk on.
But
this over here. We always did it growing up. And so this guy got irritated and blocked me going toward Hundred Oaks. And I pull over and he goes, dude, you shouldn't be doing that. That's annoying. Get out of the car. I said, all right, I'll get out. I get out of the car and he backed up. I mean, I wasn't mad, but he was a smaller guy. I was just like, here's why I do this. I said, we can still fight if you want. I was just, because I knew he wouldn't fight.
Yeah.
I mean, this was years ago. And then he got back in his car and drove off. And I was like, okay, I kind of get it. But, you know, if you're honking through a tunnel, that's what we did.
It's fun. It's a mindless thing.
Don't take my fun. Everybody's just taking fun. Don't take my fun away from me.
Right.
Again, it's not a 4 mile tunnel. It's not the one in Gatlinburg. I get that. You're honking the entire. This is a small tunnel in Thompson Lane, and they've expanded that tunnel too because it used to be just two lanes. Now it's
three, right?
Two on one side, two on the other, with the divider down the middle.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So they kind of remodeled that, but I'm not. I mean, there's a lot of us that when I wrote that story, I wrote it for the paper and put it in my book. I had so many people come back at me in a good way and say, I completely forgot about that. I was my grandpa, my grandmother did that, or my father did that when I was growing up. We all did that.
It strikes a chord with people.
It's nostalgia. When I think about that tunnel now, going through and honking, I'm like, man, I remember that with my grandpa. Oh, we went through there, we'd honk, we'd laugh. That's a great memory that I have because of that moment.
Yeah. I remember countless times when my mom would take me in the morning on the right side of the tunnel. My grandparents picked me up on the left side of the tunnel.
Playing the trombone.
Yeah.
Let's read a few of these right now. Jeff says, it's about funerals. Always stop unless it's on a freeway, interstate, et cetera. I understand that. But I'm a true Southerner, and my respect is to the bereaved family for the departed. Thank you for that. West in Clarksville, there's a tunnel over Gallibur that have new signs that say, no honking now. Take the fun away from us. Tunnel in Gatlinburg says, no honking. Well, I'm still going to honk. Lenny, fun people honking tunnels. It's just great. You throw a non-sports question out there and it goes crazy. So thank you for that. Nick, or Dylan says, hey, it's a hearse, not a hearst. Thank you. I'm guilty
of that.
Sorry
that I can't speak properly.
Is it a Garrison hearst? I'm sorry. Garrison hearse. I got that. Scott says, my father-in-law passed away July 3rd. His funeral was in Mount Juliet. We're on the main road for nearly a mile, and every single person pulled over and stopped except one guy who flew by everyone. but we appreciated everyone, and in a small way, it made us feel better. Now, that's fantastic. Thank you, Scott, for that. That's why Mount Juliet, Dixon, these places are fantastic. Brian says, procession on highway, stay out of the procession, but definitely don't stop or pass using the overtaking lane. That's fine. That is absolutely fine with that, what you want to do. And Hair Metal Henry says, if Buford T. Justice can pull over a funeral in high-speed pursuit, then everyone can pull over. Hair Metal Henry with the one of the day. If Buford T. can pull over a funeral in a high-speed pursuit, then everyone else can pull over as well. All right, keep them coming. 615-737-1025. Again, I think we have the greatest audience in sports talk and talk radio. You guys, every day. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Chris Gaines, former Vanderbilt All-American linebacker, one of my all-time favorite SEC players, is going to join us. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.